In all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we come to this passage and you've laid a great challenge before us, but you've also given us a great help in your scriptures, the example of Jesus, the very presence of your Holy Spirit, the encouragement we can receive from each other, and many more helps. Thank you. Thank you for being God Almighty, reigning supreme. We thank you for your word of truth. We thank you for hope. We thank you for life in the midst of a world that is hopeless and dying. Thank you for Jesus. Father, challenge our hearts. Let your Spirit move in our thoughts, our hearts, our minds. Help us, motivate us, encourage us, clean out our houses. Let us be willing to let loose of those things that are displeasing in your sight. We thank you for this day, for this time, and for your scriptures. Guide us in your will, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first challenge we find in this passage is to be ready for the end time, to enter into eternity, because the end is near. That's been a message of Scripture all along, hasn't it? Over and over again, we see the phrase, be ready. The end is near. Chapter 4, verse 3, we looked at last week. And we see there that the writer, the Apostle Peter, said we basically, in David Rohrbach slang, we've wasted enough time. You ever feel like you've wasted time? I have wasted many a time doing stuff that I probably could have used a whole lot better my time than what I did with it. But we have wasted enough time in the old ways, the Apostle Peter said, in the ways of sin, the ways of the world. Jesus requires our entire commitment and our entire servant, our service, our willingness to please and honor God, not just once in a while, not just Sundays, not just part of it. We can't wobble between God and the world. We can't have two masters. Jesus warned us about having two masters. You can't do that. You love one, hate the other. You just can't walk with two different masters. It's either Jesus or the devil. And hopefully, I'll choose Jesus. Yes? Amen? You know, Peter reminds us of ancient Noah, when only 8 souls were saved from the worldwide flood. A lot of people mock and say, no, there wasn't a worldwide flood. That's just a fable of the Scripture. But I'll tell you, Jesus said it was true. The Apostle Peter said it was true twice. We have it as a record in our Scripture. We better believe it. And I firmly believe that science is proving that there was a worldwide flood. Well, we can get into that another time. But here Peter reminds us of ancient Noah, that the entire world except for 8 souls were saved, and the entire world was lost except for the 8 souls on the ark due to a worldwide flood. Didn't Noah warn anybody? Didn't he tell anybody? Hey, God said that we're going to have a flood. Yeah. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, the Apostle Peter brings up Noah again. Noah must have been a popular favorite Bible hero of the Apostle Peter, because he refers to him again. And there, the Apostle Peter calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. So yes, he preached. Yes, he warned the people about the coming flood. Now, just for example, if we go back to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 6, verse 3 tells us that God limited the lifespan of people to 120 years. Now, a lot of scholars believe that that was the amount of time that God gave Noah to get ready for the flood, to build the ark. After all, think about it. The size of the ark. Got a picture of the ark I think, in the next slide there. How would you and your spouse and six kids like to build that boat? Think about it. Gathering all the materials that were necessary to build. Now, that is a reconstruction. That is the Ark Encounter back in Kentucky. And you can go visit that thing. They've got a museum, evidences of Bible truth, scientific evidence to show that we can trust our Bible. So if you want to go on a trip, you might consider that. I want to go. But anyway, think about gathering all the materials, finding enough gopher wood for that. You know why he called it gopher wood? Hey, boys, go for some more. We're not sure what gopher wood was, but it was a wood that was substantial enough, strong enough to support this huge ocean-size vessel to preserve life. Gathering enough of those materials, constructing the ark, and then to collect all the food supplies for you don't know how long, for not just you, yourself, and your family, but also for all the creatures that were going to be on board, to stockpile on the ark, and then finally to get all the critters in their cages on the ark, and then to wait a week in the darkness, in the silence, as God sealed the door. How many people were outside beating on the door trying to get in? Especially when it started to rain. Which brings up some other issues. The dimensions of the ark are comparable to the size of an ocean tanker. And how many of you have a 75-foot tall object in your backyard that's not noticeable? Don't you think every person in the neighborhood and the county and the state and the region were wondering, I wonder what Noah's building today. Let's go take a little trip to see how the progress is on this boat, the ark that Noah is building. Surely the talk of the town was the ark that Noah was building. And don't you think Noah was sincerely trying to warn them? The Genesis record up to this point, up to the account of Noah, indicates that the earth was watered by only mists. There is no mention of rain previous to this. There is no mention of flooding before this until God says, I'm going to flood the earth. What's a flood? I've never seen one of those before. Do they have 4 feet? Up to this point, there has been no mention of a rainbow, because a rainbow was presented by God after the flood as the sign that he would never flood the earth again. As with the case of most biblical prophets, there was clearly probably more mockery, more disbelief of Noah than accepting his message. Not even the rest of his relatives, family, or friends got on board. Only his wife, 3 sons, and 3 daughters. Scripture doesn't tell us if he had more children, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins. Nobody else got on the ark. Nobody else believed him. That crazy old ark man, that lunatic down the street, what does he know? The world did not get a second chance after rejecting the warnings of Noah. After God sealed the door, God didn't say, oh, well, there's 20 people outside. No, there's 40 people outside. Maybe I better open up the door and let some more on. No, didn't happen. Only Noah and his family. The rest mocked, jeered, rejected God, and rejected life. Jesus repeatedly spoke of His second coming. He's coming back to where? To this earth. How many of the people of His day believed Him? How many of the leaders, scholars of the Scriptures believed Him? Very few. Here Jesus repeatedly said, He's coming back. And He's going to come back in glory and in power to judge everyone who has rejected His word. Jesus referred to the Old Testament prophecies which spoke of the final days. Jesus used parables to illustrate the second coming as ruler, not as the suffering servant, but as ruler. And then Jesus spoke clearly of His planned return. I've selected just one passage of the many. Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 through 44. Jesus said, "Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not know that you do not think He will." He's coming back. And how many of our neighbors and friends have heard this? How many of us have heard it and we're still not really quite with the program? Not quite doing what Jesus would want us to do. A major doctrine of the New Testament writers is the second coming of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there won't be a second chance once He has come. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and following addresses this again. The Apostle Peter has brought up the subject, the fact that this major doctrine, that Jesus is coming again. He's coming as Christ, King, Lord, Judge. In Revelation chapter 22, you know, after all, the whole book of Revelation, it's about what? Jesus is coming back. Everything's going to be judged based on their relationship with Jesus. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, the ending. Let me just focus on this one verse out of all that book. "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book." We're blessed if we pay attention to the warning. Jesus is coming where? Here. Let's move on to our second thought. God gives you multiple gifts to use in His honor, including special gifts. God has given you multiple gifts. Now, we have an old gospel song, "Count Your Many Blessings." And we should probably do that how often? Constantly. Give praise to God. But in verses 8 through 11, we have a reminder here about the gifts that God has given to us. It's kind of alluded to, referenced to, not specifically, but in general. God is the maker and owner of how much? Everything. Everything. Your life comes from the very source of life, God. He gave it to you. He started with Adam and Eve. And the Scripture tells us that He forms every baby in the womb. Their unformed substance is put together by God. And we are all made in whose image? In God's image. God continues to be the source of our air. How many of you went out and bought 200 cubic feet of air this morning before you started out your day? We just accept it. Right? Everybody has the privilege to breathe. Only by the grace of God. And how about your food? How many of you have a farm that you provide all of your own food? Now, some of you have gardens, I know. I love to garden. But Scripture says God is the giver of our food. And we are to thank God for our food. This very planet that we live on, how many of us put this planet together? No, God put the planet together. Who owns this planet? God. And He allows us to live on His planet. God continues to be the source of our air, food, world, protection, strength, knowledge, skills, and the list goes on endlessly. In Exodus chapter 28, verse 3, verse 31, chapter 31 and verse 1 and following, God reminded the nation of Israel of the same principles that He is the owner of all things, including their gifts. And He there specifically refers to the gift of design, the gift of sewing, the gift of working with gems, the gift of working with metal. And He says, I've given special gifts to these individuals, and there's to use those gifts that I gave to them to build the tabernacle for my worship. Every skill is a gift from God. Let's read Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. This is a message to us as believers. The New Testament Christian world. Does God still own everything? Yep, He still does. Didn't turn in the deed. He still has it. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Since we have gifts. What is a gift? It's something that's given, that we receive. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. All of these are gifts. We tend to think that I decided to do this. I developed this ability. No. All things come from where? God. God is the source of all that is good. And so we have to acknowledge that these good things that we think we're coming up with, God deserves the credit. God holds you accountable. God holds me accountable for what we are doing with His abilities that He has given to us. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, is a parable of the three stewards. Each of them were given various amounts of the terminology there. They were given talents according to their ability. Each received what they were capable of managing by the master. Each of them were to utilize those talents given to each of them until the master returned. And then the master was going to reward them. They didn't know this at the beginning, but the master rewarded them according to how they used their talents. The one who did not use his talents, but buried it, hid it, what happened with him? The master totally rejected that individual, gave his talents to others. Is there a lesson there for us? Yes. Jesus gives us each abilities, traits, talents, characteristics, whatever term you want to call it. And He wants us to use those things for His glory, to increase in them, to multiply them, to use them to honor Him. Everything that we do should be for His glory, not for ours, but for His. God gives the gift of His Spirit to every believer of Christ who turns away from sin and is buried in the waters of baptism with Jesus Christ. That's a promise of Acts chapter 2, verse 38. With God's Spirit in us, we reflect His character and we reflect His quality that is given to us as gifts. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Oh, here he goes again. It's one of my favorite verses. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Say them with me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, you probably have a different translation, and a couple of those words are not in your translation. But the same basic principle is there. God gives us gifts to use. And especially when His Spirit is living inside of us, we will reflect the Spirit of God who dwells within us. Back here in the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, we see that Peter restates the command of our Lord to practice loving others with godly love. As defined in the Scripture, we have a definition of what is this love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, explains to us the godly love that we should be living. The Holy Spirit gives believers improved abilities and sometimes additional special gifts, we read in the Scripture. When He sees the need, He empowers us to meet the need. It's not our ability. It's God in us, working through us. We read some of those qualities in Romans chapter 12. We also have a list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in chapter 12, different abilities. Some of them special, what we would call the miraculous gifts of the Spirit. But those gifts must come from the Holy Spirit in His time, on His schedule, His way. We will be judged through Christ based upon our service to love others in His name. We will be judged. Matthew 25, verse 34 through 40 is the passage that Brother Robert read for us this morning. I really want to sing that little song, "I Don't Want to Be a Goat, Nope." "I just want to be a sheep." Yeah, because a sheep He'll always keep. Yeah. Amen. Let's be God's sheep, doing His will, walking in His path. All of our talents and abilities come from where? God, our Creator, and are to be used to honor Him. You were made to honor Him. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 talks about, "By grace you are saved through faith, for the works that He made for you." You were created to walk in His work. So let's do it. Walk in His work. So you're asking me, okay, now I agree with that. What kind of work? How can you lovingly serve Christ's body today? How do you put that work into practice? Now, I'm not saying you have to do all these things, but you need to keep your eyes open. If you're not busy serving Jesus in some way, I encourage you, find a spot where you can use your talents and abilities that God has given to you. Now, let's start running through some of the things that I thought of, and you can probably think of a whole lot more different things. So this is not the exclusive list. But definitely, we are to grow in prayer. Be a people of prayer. Amen? Verse 8 addresses that. Verse 8 says, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin." Now, you read the wrong verse. I've got the wrong reference here in my notes. Shame on me. We are called to pray for each other, to keep fervent in our pray. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says to pray how often? Constantly. Continually, we are to be in communication with the Father in heaven constantly. We are all to grow in the practicing of the fruit of the Spirit, that Galatians 5, 22 and 23. To pursue thinking and sharing all that is good, right, true, pure, and godly. We can do that in several ways. We can check up on our sick. are frail. How many of you like to get a call or a card whenever you're not feeling well, doing well? Look around. We're missing some people today. And we got several people who haven't been here for a long time. I don't know some of these people. I'm still trying to get connected. I need to get on the ball. Anybody else need to get on the ball? We've got a lot of work to do to check up on the needs of people around us. Doing what's good and right, pure, true. Our homebound, those hospitalized. We need to offer help to others when we can be a helping hand. We need to pray for each other. Those on the list, the prayer list. We have a long prayer list. We have a lot of people not on the prayer list that you know about. Can you pray for them? Yes. Make your own personal list. Food and snacks. How many of you like food and snacks? Yeah, sometimes when we get together, we like to have a little bit of food, a little bit of snack. Prepare to become workers for Christ in His church. In this church, Valley Christian Church, what do we need to do as a church family? Well, right now we've got some different things going on. There are always projects and continuing duties around the church facilities, the church grounds. Several of you ladies participate, and it doesn't have to be just ladies. I know there's some guys involved, too, in preparing the communion for every Sunday. We have a sign-up list out there. There are some spots open. I wonder who can write their name down. How about greeters? We've got a list out there with some spots open. Who can be a greeter? Do you like to say hi to people? You can be a greeter. Children's church workers. Brother Raymond's sick today, but his wife has stepped up, and I think so. Is that you behind the mask? Who's taking care of the kids today? Somebody is. Yvonne? Okay, Yvonne is. And I know that they can always use extra hands. You need to talk with Raymond, Yvonne, those individuals, if you like to work with kids and can help out with the kids. Guys, we have a thing called once a month breakfast, men's breakfast. There's spots open to provide the cooks, the food, the fellowship. And around the property, we have trash and weeds. None of you have ever seen weeds, have you? You know who's been taking care of that, to my knowledge, maybe somebody else? Mr. Ed. Brother Mr. Ed here has been trying to keep up with watering the trees and pulling weeds. And some others have been helping with the burning of the weeds and such, picking up trash. That trash, it seems to blow in somehow. I don't know how that happens. But maybe you want to check with Mr. Ed and work with him and help him out. How about the property maintenance? Some of you may have noticed we put some new siding on the little storage shed back here. Several people had a hand in that. We poured some concrete, set up a thing called a new sign out front. Several people got their hands into that mud and the fun there. Brother Robert Cantrell is in charge of property maintenance. We've got a future project to re-side the youth building down the road. That's our goal, our hope this year. Can you help out with that? Talk to Brother Robert. See if you've got an ability, talent that you can help him with. Decoration. Several different individuals are involved with decorating. There's not one person in charge. My wife has helped a little bit with that. Yvonne's helped with that. How many of you have had a part? I know there's several that had a hand in this. So if you've got some ideas, talk with some of the ladies about that. Raise your hands again real high. Yay! You know, all those little things. Clean up our extended property. I've taking a little foot tour down into our further property past the ball field, and there's a lot of junk down there, isn't there, Ted? Maybe if you got some time, you might want to help out and take a garbage bag down there and pick up some stuff. There's more stuff that you can probably help out with. I don't know. Keep your eyes open. Keep your mind open. Talk with some of the leaders about how you can help out. Upcoming programs. Refreshments are always good. Amen. We are planning to have the fifth Sunday Singspiration here, the end of the month. It's May 30th, and we're planning at 4 o'clock in the afternoon of getting together and singing songs, picking out favorite old songs and new songs, however it works. And also the 1st of August, August the 1st, we are planning on having a Southern Gospel concert group here called the Armor Heirs. And for that, we need to invite people. We need to show up, support them, give a love offering for their support. We hope to have some food afterwards. Food keeps coming up. Lodging, if some of you have a large extra bed, you might be able to help out there. And we want to have more stuff in the future. We want to plan for more things. Because we have good news for people, don't we? But it takes people to support it and encourage it and take care of the needs. We need to prepare for and promote and engage in our children's Sunday school program. How big of a Sunday school program do we have right now? Zero. Except for children's church that's taking place right now. How are we training our future children? Are we ready to train our future children? That's something new. I'm still working on that on my end. If you're concerned about that, if you got some ideas, we need to sit down and make sure we're ready to start some Sunday school classes. And maybe not just Sunday school, but during the week as well. Children need to hear the stories of Jesus. And we need to get ready to do that. Are we ready? I know I'm not organized on that part right now. I don't have a plan. This is what you're going to do today. Are you ready to help me on that? Ready to help the leaders on that? How about more home Bible studies? How many home Bible study groups do we have going right now? To my knowledge, it's zero. Are you interested in some Bible studies? If you need some help, need some materials, I've got a lot of material. I don't know how much time I've got, but I'd be glad to help getting that going. More adult Sunday school classes. Right now, the only person who's teaching right now is me. And some of you are not enduring that very well. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't want to listen to me all the time. Do you want to have some other classes? Talk to us. Let us know if there's some studies that you would like to see take place. We'll consider it. We'll look at it, see what we can do. Let's share Jesus. Let's grow in Jesus. Another area that we might consider, some of you are already doing this, participate in the community and regional Christian ministries. I know down in the southern part of the state, we had Members Christian Camp serving the churches down in the southern part of the state. And every summer, we depended heavily on volunteers to teach, to cook, to be counselors, to transport kids back and forth. I know this COVID has everything's schedule messed up for our church camp here at El Porvenir. But are you ready to serve? Are you ready to jump in when the need is there to be drivers, to be teachers, to be help with the groundskeepers? I know that there are 5 Gideon camps in the area. Maybe you can help out with the Gideon camps. Sister Cecilia is part of that group. Talk to her if you would be interested in that. One of the missions that we support is Spanish American Evangelism down in El Paso. And I know that from time to time they have work projects sorting through donations or getting materials ready to send out to spread the gospel. Are you interested? Maybe taking a day or two going down to El Paso and helping getting materials ready. If that's something that interests you, talk to me about it. Are there community food kitchens, food pantries that need helpers? There's a whole bunch of stuff that we could be doing that I'm not aware of, but you may be aware of or want to find out the information that we can serve who? Serve God, serve Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, glorify God in what we're doing. Here's one that a lot of people don't think about. Have you ever thought about going on a short-term mission? Not across the street, but to another country to help missionaries in a work that they're doing. I'm familiar with a couple of different missionaries that take in groups, and they go down with funding, and they usually have a crew of talented abilities in the individuals to do construction or something of that nature. Painting. How many of you love to paint? Well, maybe not. How many of you could endure painting in the name of Jesus if you had the time, the ability, the opportunity? Pray that God would lead you to what He wants you to do, whether it be in your backyard, your next door neighbor, in this church family, down the street, across the nation, across the world. Where does Jesus want me to serve? As God's personal representatives in this world, He commands us to do it well all the time. Finishing now with 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength with which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's serve our Savior together. Pray with me. Father, lead us, guide us in your service, motivate us. If we've fallen lax, we've wasted time, remind us, prod us, and help us to be an encourager to one another, to use the talents and abilities you've given to us for the glory of Jesus, for your glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you ever need to talk to one of us, our leaders, myself, about your commitment to Christ, don't hesitate. Please get us by the scruff of the neck. By the ear, tap on our shoulder, whatever, and visit with us. We'd be glad to visit with you in helping you walk with Jesus Christ. God bless you.